Hello once again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I bring you good tidings of great joy from the Word of God. And I'm so excited to do this because the Lord has opened my eyes. I have seen the glory of the Lord in that. I have believed upon Him and then lived a life for Him. Now, that life has not always been as beautiful as it ought to have been. It has not always been without sin. It is not always quite as it should have been, but I love Him. I love the Lord Jesus. I love Him with all my heart and with all my soul and all that there is within me. I don't know how not to love the Lord Jesus. I hate His enemies. I absolutely love Him. Now, the Word of God teaches us that we should be in love with the Lord Jesus. And I'm going through the Word of God saying to you that there is a gospel. The gospel is the good news. And the good news is what we understand of the things that Jesus said and did and created in this world while He was here. It's a few years ago, but I received a letter from the government, and it said that I needed to sign up to be a minister of the gospel who would help people. These are my words, by the way. I'm paraphrasing this, that when the crunch really comes to crunch, I can help soften the blow and the people will be malleable and easily helped. They will lean on us who love the Lord Jesus, we ministers, and I had to sign up here and send in my recording of what I had been doing. They also wanted to know the content of my sermons, my prayers, etc., etc. And I read that and I thought, what an affront. They have no leading of the Holy Spirit, and I will not do this. And so I stood aside and aloof. That letter went in file 13. It vanished in the furnace. I've never heard from the government since. But there are movements going on, and I was reading something the other day that said somewhere between 28,000 and 100,000 ministers have signed up to be ministers to help the people when the crunch comes. What crunch? What are we talking about? Why should there be a crunch? Well, it appears that our government is preparing to separate us as families. Notice the Nazis did the same thing. They have been doing all sorts of things behind the scenes so that we will be put into camps to be re-educated, to relearn what we should have learned anyway, and our properties likely will be confiscated and our belongings shared amongst those who are greedy enough not to value them and to do this, that, and the other. And this is a sort of takeover from behind the scenes. Whether this is absolutely correct or not, I have no knowledge of knowing. But I do know this, that there is an unease in this country today that wasn't here 10 years ago. It wasn't here when I came to this country in 1969, and it wasn't here all the way through that time up till this time. And the time that we're in now is brutally honest about the fact that God is to be rejected, Jesus is to be rejected, and we're not to be believing this Jesus thing. Well, I have to tell you, if you take Jesus out of the teaching of the gospel, if you take Jesus out of the good news turns into bad news. Jesus is the good news. He is the gospel. He is the advantage that we have for peace in this unresting world. Look at all the controversy. Look at all the difficulties that this world is in. And it's horrible to even contemplate. So I want to take you back into the Gospel of John, and I want to share with you the gospel, the good news. The news is so good that it means that all of our politicians are not necessary. It means the news is so good that all the commentators and the people that have a feely-feely thing going on between them and God, or they think they know the theology of the things of God, or they think they even know what the Bible says, they take things out of context and throw them around like a ball on a tennis court. We need more than that. Jesus gave us more than that. If you'll turn, if you've got a Bible there, to the 14th chapter of John, you will discover that Jesus says to us very clearly and easily that we can understand. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. There is no coming to the Father by legislation. God has given us a new and living way, and if we put our trust, if we rely on, and if we dwell in the presence of the Lord Jesus, all the things that are awful will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And he has given us life, and it's called abundant life. Now, I've looked at the word where Jesus said, I am the way, and we've looked at that, and we've looked at I am the truth. We've looked at that. Now I want to come to the place where we see, just briefly, because there isn't time on one of these programs, but I want us to see that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I know that people can mock us, and we can be called all sorts of silly names. I'm fully aware of all of that. I'm fully aware that people, on the most part, don't appreciate what it was that Jesus was saying to the people. And through the disciples, Jesus has said, in the 6th verse of this 14th chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, this channels everything down. Never mind all your philosophical garbage, and never mind all the theological confusion. Jesus is the center of attraction. Jesus is the center of faith. Jesus is the altogether lovely one, the fairest of 10,000, the bright, the morning star. He is the one that illuminates the heart and makes the heart aware of sin. And Jesus is the one that with his body nailed to a cross bought for us our freedom. And it was his blood that washed us clean. It was his grace that was freed to cover us. Now you are covered by the grace of God. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you find the unmerited favor of God to be upon you. The word unmerited favor is a translation of the word of grace. How do I understand grace? Well, it's God's unmerited favor. This came home to my wife and I 2 winters ago. Our car rolled on the top of the mountain. We hit black ice and it rolled, and we came to a standstill after it had toppled over head over heels a few times, and we were hanging by the seat belts. We started to look at each other inside the cab of the car that was now much reduced in size, and we were laughing. And when someone said, can I help you, he told us later that he was amazed at the way we old people were laughing. We were laughing because the Lord Jesus had his hand on us. I believe Satan creates these confrontations with death. Jesus has the grace to give us more life, more abundant life. How precious that is! It is life that is abundant life. And now I want you to understand that this life is permanent. It lasts you all the years in this world. It lasts you into eternity, and it goes on for eternity. I'm already living, and anybody believing the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord will discover exactly the same thing. We are already living eternal life. So death of this body is simply a stepping stone from one regime, as it were, to the next. From one experience to the next experience, but the life is exactly the same. It's the same in that we are victorious in Jesus. We go to a place that is called heaven, the Bible says. When we get there, we discover that there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there are no more tears, and there certainly is no more death. For we are alive in the living, risen Lord Jesus, and our life continues for eternity. I don't know how to measure eternity, but the Bible says it's for eternity. We're in the presence of God and in the presence of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. There are things we'll have to answer for. There are questions that we will be asked. But if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are saved, and you can only be saved through Jesus. There is no other way. You can't reason yourself into the kingdom of God. You can't theologically move yourself into the kingdom of God. You can't go to school and learn all sorts of wonderful things and therefore step into the kingdom of God. You are his child by his selection, and you are his because he loved you from the foundation of the world, and he made the decision to give to you life that was abundant, and it's yours this day. Let's talk about this life. This life is a very difficult thing to always understand. We have all sorts of sufferings. We have all sorts of hiccups, as it were. We have things that happen in our lives that we're not going to boast about. In fact, we're thoroughly ashamed. How did that get into my life? We ask in the secret prayer time that we have with the Lord. Why did I say this, or why did I do that, and why was I involved in this, that, and the other? I tell you, we have a mansion, and we will be at home in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, said Jesus. Well, we know that. I am the truth, said Jesus. We know that. I am the life, and we need to know that. We need to understand that the Lord Jesus is our life. It isn't that we live a goody-two-shoes life. It is simply that we live according to the word of God. That means my vocabulary will change. If I'm a swearing man, then that will change. It means that I will look at things that will fulfill the glory of God in my life and not the filth that I sometimes see on television. I see things that are terrifying on television. Turn your television on just for a moment or two, any time, and you will see killings and rapings and all sorts of stealings and wrong things going on. Vengeance is the greatest thing that we see. We don't think, oh, well, maybe that isn't of God, but it isn't. You see, if somebody has wronged you and you can't be reconciled because they won't allow you to, you must relax and say, well, God has said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I can't do anything about this dreadful business that the ISIS people are involved in the world, but I can lean back and say, God has said he will repay. This is not the God that these people say they worship. This is a God who loves them, loves them. When God said, "Let there be light," the panic of Satan must have been absolutely phenomenal, because he had neither, apparently, day or night to live in. He had landed, as it were, upon this orb, this world, and he had created all sorts of things, and there were all kinds of grotesque things in the world, wretched things, some things we see today. They are a spillover, as it were. And we say, "Oh, we found evidence of dinosaurs, therefore God is not in existence." That's rubbish. The bones may be 1 million years old, 1 billion years old, who cares? I serve a risen Saviour, and he's electrifyingly alive today. And he lives within my heart today. And today is the day of salvation. And in my house, the day of the Lord has set his feet very firmly. My children love the Lord. My grandchildren love the Lord. How precious this is. I'm not living in a fantasy world, a Mary Poppins world. I'm living in the real world. There is no need for me to lie. There is no need for me to cheat. There is no need for me to steal. There is no need for me to beat up on somebody because they've got something I want. He gives me the things that I desire, which is an incredible, wonderful thing. Why would he do that? Because he loves me. Because he is showing to the world that the world might see me as an awful person, but he loves me. He's showing to my family that his love has never failed me, and all of my family see miracles going on in their lives, one way and or another. It's an incredible thing that God is doing. And if you look and listen, and if you read and understand, you will know that God is in this business with Israel. "Pray for Israel," says the word of God. "Pray for Jerusalem," says the word of God. Most of our praying is, "Oh Lord, I've got a hangnail. Please do something about it." What rubbish! Come, dear friend, open your heart. Weep in the presence of God. Open your heart and let him speak to you. Read his word and he will speak to you in volumes. You see, reading the word of God is God speaking to you. Praying to God is you speaking to God. And our selfish prayers are really silly. We need to understand. If this country were to get upon its knees and pray, we would be amazed at the power of God that would be revealed. All the conspiracy theories would be thrown away. We would be living in the presence of the Holy Spirit in a new and mighty, powerful way. All the complaints about those that are in authority over us are rubbish, rubbish. When Paul said in Romans 13 that we were to obey those that are in authority over us, he didn't mean that we bowed and scraped to their sinful practices, and he didn't mean that we took on their sinful practice. He didn't mean that we obey wickedness. What he did say was, "Follow me, follow me." Jesus went on to say in this beautiful, I think this area of scripture, from the 10th chapter of John all the way through to the end of the least, the 15th, but maybe even further, is a pivotal place in scripture for anybody to deal with. For Jesus is saying quite simply that I and my Father are one. And he says in verse 23 of chapter 14, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken unto you while abiding with you. But to reinforce all of this, he says in verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now listen to this, because this is where we need to be. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives give I unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, says Jesus, I have told you these things, verse 29, that when it happens, you may believe. Now, there is one way to God. There is one way to God. You may have a God, but if you haven't trusted Jesus, his Son, you do not have this God. You may have all sorts of godly thinking and godly thoughts, but if you're not trusting Jesus, they're valueless. You may have lived a very good life, given much to the poor. You may have been very generous with your life and given your riches to those around you, shared, as the Bible says you should, what God has given you. That's the grace of God at work again. That is his unmerited favor. Job had a bit of a time with his kids. He had some teenage kids and some younger people that were his kids. Yet he was uneasy. They had parties, apparently, and you can read it for yourself in the book of Job. But Job actually took a sacrifice and sacrificed a sacrifice to God in case his children forgot, in case his children overstepped the mark, in case his children got involved in immoral things, wrong things. In case that happened, Job went to the temple and sacrificed a sacrifice on their behalf. Do you ever think about things like that? Yet it's your responsibility to do exactly that and to understand that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, nobody can take this life from you. They may tear your body apart. They may abuse you, and the days are coming, I believe, that this will happen. I think a new regime is likely to come, and unfortunately, I think it's going to show itself forcibly in this country. But when I hear of wars and rumors of wars, I rejoice. I must tell you this. I rejoice because Jesus said, in the last days you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't put a construction upon this that doesn't exist. Understand, God is spelling out to us as clear as day. We are in these last days. Jesus is very close to coming. And all these politicians and leaders of the world, so-called, are simply puppets on a string. They're doing what God wants them to do to bring about the situation that he can come and save Israel and save you and I. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day for you to repent and believe on Jesus. Now is the day. And we need to come to that day and be filled and thrilled with the presence of Jesus, our precious Lord. We need to stand in the presence of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that the peace of God is within us. The Word of God says that we need to learn how to stand still. Know that God is God. Now look at this peace thing. Every time we want peace, we send a bevy of people around the world and they negotiate peace. They negotiate this, that, and the other. You can negotiate all you like, but if you want the peace of Jesus, it's already given to you. All you have to do is fall upon your knees and cry out, "My sins have separated me. I repent." And Jesus will fill your heart with the peace of God that passes all understanding and that fadeth not away. That is, it cannot be erased from your experience. Please understand, God is on his throne and he's not been dethroned. Satan can't do it. Satan mimics God sometimes. He wants to be like God according to the Word of God. But he won't succeed because his deeds are evil. He is wrapped up in names galore. You can call him any name you like. You may like the name Satan. You may like the name evil. I don't know. Jesus said, when his disciples asked to teach them to pray, he said, "This is one of the things you should always pray. Deliver us from the evil one." We don't think about that. We just mouth the words, "Deliver us from evil. Amen." And the preachers that do lead the congregation in the saying of the quote and unquote Lord's Prayer should always remember it's his, not ours. It's his way of saying, "This is what you should pray about." Now fall upon your knees now. Confess sin. Now, not to me, and not to a priest or any other preacher, but to God. And you'll find Jesus will receive you as a little child, and you will be in the kingdom of heaven. Well, the time has gone. I must stop now. But think about these things. Jesus is the answer to all the ills of this wretched world, especially yours. Will you trust him? And will you love him? It's time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bring us to our knees this day, that we may lift up our heads and ask for your anointing. For we ask it in your precious name, that name that's above all names, shall bring glory and honor into this world. We ask it for your sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening, and thank you for being here. Goodbye.